Blog Talk Radio.
Tefu, this is Kusak Maakeparu for another broadcast. I am here, your humble servant, and today we're going to be talking about agents of destruction or salvation. But first, I want to start off by saying if you would like to call in and have a question, the phone lines are always open throughout the broadcast. The number is 347-989-8367. That's 347-989-8367. And again, we're here today to talk about agents of destruction or salvation. So in this broadcast, you may hear me say a lot of controversial things and get really passionate and heated. That's because my person or my true self allows my person to become that way so they can express the point to those listening of the importance of the message that we'll be delivering today. One of the things that you'll have to do is decide what type of person you are and what type of life you want to lead. Are you the type of person who seeks truth in their life, or do you want to go along with the mass delusion or the mass hypnosis that we've been placed under to just be consumers and just for the masses of people to go along with what the media and the universities are feeding us? Because you have to understand that in order to get to truth, you'll have to break out of the matrix, break out of the system, and start to see information in alternative means. We do understand that most of the major television stations, newspapers, and radio stations have been purchased and bought by the major conglomerates, and they are putting out the same information with a bit of a spin on it, but it's the exact information so that they can have a consensus of thought and be on the same page so that they can further put you deeper into the matrix and have you thinking a certain way and acting a certain way. Contrary to what most conspiracy theorists believe, I don't believe that it's about the so-called media propaganda or manipulation. I believe it's about suggestions. They are merely suggesting to you a way of thinking and a way of living. And it is up to you to take what they suggest or those seeds and decide how you want to deal with them. Do you want those seeds to be planted and grow within you, your spirit, or do you want to take those seeds and throw them away, understanding that they're bad seeds? So everything is a suggestion, and it's meant there. The suggestions are meant for you to create a world or reality that is in line with what the powers that be want and not what you want. So if I were to tell you today that all cars are pink, it's merely a suggestion. And if you accept it and believe it, all cars will be pink. And this is what I call the mass consensus agreement. If enough people agree, then it shall be. And that's biblical, that's scriptural. You can read that. Not that I am professing that I'm a scriptural or biblical person, but what I'm saying is there is a degree of truth to that. And that, so you have to think about what you are for. And the reason why I preface this broadcast with that is because at some point your ideas about the world will start to break down, as in the tarot deck, the tower or the Tower of Babylon, whatever it's called. Comes crashing down because it wasn't built on a firm foundation. So you have to understand that everything that we have been taught is not built on solid truth. So eventually, in some way, shape, or form, it's going to come crashing down. So you just have to decide, you know, if you want to deal with it now or later, but it will not stay in place. The reality that you see around you eventually, because of the vibration that most people, the universe is going through, where things are changing and we're vibrating to a higher level, higher frequency, the truth will eventually come to fruition. And us in this hypnotic trance state, this reality tunnel, is not going to last. So I want you to think about that. I mean, I met a guy on the street today as I was shopping, and he told he stopped me and he said that he listens to my broadcast and my YouTube videos, and he was saying, oh, he says, you're doing a great job. Okay, I'll see you later, goodbye. And that was the end of the conversation. So I am not interested in working with people who are just listening to what I have to say or understanding things on a very superficial level. I'm interested in people who want to start a revolution, who understand that their lives must change and that the world must change along with that. When I consulted the great I Ching Oracle, or I Ching, I asked it what did it want me to do, and I got the 49 hexagon, which was revolution. So I want you to understand that you have people out here who have become masters of theory and engage in intellectual masturbation, but when it comes to actually doing anything, they fall short. And this is not what the type of people that you want to surround yourself with. but because for a student, never the teacher. We want people who are real willing and ready to start the revolution. Be very, very clear when I say a revolution. I am not talking about a revolution of the mind. I am not talking about a revolution of raising people's energy vibrations, though that's a good thing. I am talking about a real revolution where there will be casualties. There is no way that you are going to oppose this society and the lies and deceptions that they're putting forth, and there will not be casualties, because it is not going to go down without a fight. And you are going to lose good people, but that is the only way that we're going to pave the way for the generation to come, so they will not have to deal with the tragedies and the sickness that we're dealing with now, because society is sick. We as a people are sick, and we're not dealing with that. We're not talking about that. We're not addressing that, okay? Which brings me to the topic at hand, agents of destruction or salvation. Again, the phone lines are open. If you have a question or comment, please feel free to call at any time, 347-989-8367. You know, when I incarnated this planet, I was very aware of what was going on in terms of enlightenment, but I was very clueless to what was happening with the planet. I looked around and I was like, wait a minute, there's been a mistake. I incarnate on the wrong planet? And the primary reason for this is because I remember my mother took me to church, and I was watching these ministers, these people preaching, and wondering what the hell is going on. I'm like, my first thought was like, has everybody lost their minds? You know, because it was very obvious to me, and many of you can understand and share in the sentiment, because many of you have been reincarnated. You were once maybe really great wise men or people who helped lead society in a certain direction. But you'll understand that, you know, when you reincarnate and you've had a certain level of experience in your past life and you come to this life, you start to understand that, oh my God, you know, you wonder what you got yourself into, because you know what's going on is not right. Something is terribly, terribly wrong. And we're not dealing with it and addressing it. We're sweeping it under the rug for whatever's sake, for the sake of political correctness, for the sake of those in control don't want this to be the main topic of discussion, and so on and so forth, you know? So let us start thinking in terms of being very radical in our approach, because we're dealing with an evil establishment, an evil system that wants to hold the power for as long as it can and wants to destroy as many lives as it can. And the only way that we'll bring it down is by declaring war and going and fighting it and understanding that there will be casualties. And I hear these leaders and these ministers talk about, oh, let's do a revolution. And I'm like, okay, I'm down for that. But what they're talking about is keeping the status quo, keeping everything in place. I'm like, wait, that's not what I was reincarnated here to do. I want to bring the system down. I don't want to go the system and try to work things out, because that system is cancerous, it's toxic, destroying everything in its path. You have to understand that the Christian religion, as it exists today, not as it existed maybe 1,000 or 2 years ago, is the product of the Illuminati. It is a control mechanism. It is there to keep society in check and to keep you in the realization of your true power. And what it has is it has these agents who are doing the bidding to keep you in check, keep you from realizing or the realization of your God power. And part of the process is to creating an outside savior mentality that you're powerless and that the only thing that can save you is outside intervention. I want you to think about this for a second. Let's go back. Let's go way, way back. I'm going to do a comparison for you so you can really understand what I'm saying. Some people will trace all this back to the Conference of Nicaea in 325 AD with the Roman Emperor Constantine, who took the original Egyptian religion and perverted it and created the bastardized version we call the Christian religion today. But there's a more insidious plot to it than just that. And I want you to understand that our ancient ancestors, the African shaman, the Native Americans, the Egyptians, created a right brain system of learning and of seeing the world and the universe from a certain perspective. In this society, in this modern day society, we are taught how to think. We're not taught how to think. We're taught what to think. So instead of providing you with the tools of how to see things and figure things out for yourself, you are judged on your ability to regurgitate and memorize information. So if you can regurgitate the information, you're known as intelligent. Whereas our ancestors, and that's purely a left brain thought process, because the left brain works on paradigms. Left brain says, okay, what has been done before? And then I'll use this experience to feed back the information. And that was symbolized by the god Sebek. But we understand that most native cultures or indigenous cultures operated from the right brain, and many from the collection or the bridging of both history of the brain, meaning whole brain thinking. So our ancestors created religion, and they really didn't create religion because there was no such thing as religion. They were very spiritual people who lived a very spiritual life, not this nonsense about believing in an external God, worshiping him on a Sunday, which is the sun's day. But what you'll find out is that the culture from the time dating back, say, 3,000, like let's say about 2,000-3,000 years ago, is that it's primarily right brain, and that the way we looked at things was metaphorically. And the reason that we did that, because we understood that symbols and metaphors communicated multiple things on multiple levels to the right brain. So when I say to you something is moist, that has many, many connotations. Moist meaning wet. It can mean someone who is very wishy-washy. It can mean something that's very flexible, you know. And when you start having that understanding that the one can mean multiple different things and you can see it in multiple different ways and associate it with different aspects that are going on in the planet and the universe, then your thinking becomes more broad and depth and you become knowledgeable. Symbolized by the god Tehuti. Because there's a big difference between information and knowledge. Knowledge is experience-based. Anyway, when we put our so-called religion, spirituality, together, and we live by it, it was done from a right-brain perspective. So what does that mean? That means that everything that we did encompassed spirituality, from making tea, making our beds, to going to sleep. Everything had a metaphorical spiritual significance to it, whether it be pouring wine, that's pouring libation to the gods, covering up, that's a way of protecting the soul, you know, from the underworld, you know, when you go to bed. So all these things had a rich spiritual connotation to them that when practiced daily gave you a certain idea of what is going on in the universe and elevated your spirit. So So you became a very knowledgeable and wise individual because you were able to associate these one or a few things to many, many different things. And a lot of this comes out of this in Chinese medicine, where it's very holistic in its thinking. It doesn't just address the effect, it looks at the cause, you know. And this is one of the things that the traditional religious cultures in Africa, and we'll see that when they, for let's get this straight, because no Egyptologist or historian will disagree with me on this, that the civilization of Egypt were some of the most morally upright civilizations ever on the face of the planet. When you go into African society, go into Egypt, which is still African society, located in Northeast Africa, it's not part of Europe. When you go into these societies, what you'll find, and if you study the people who were eyewitnesses to the accounts, such as the historian Herodotus, you'll see that what they did was they were very sophisticated in their thinking of governing their civilization. They put in place a way of living that did not necessitate a police force. So there's no need for your police patrols or a cop on the beat, because there was no, people weren't cheating on their spouses. There were no pedophiles. Children, Herodotus has said this himself, children ran around naked in the streets. And there was no one there who was kidnapping children and committing crazy atrocities and raping them. There was no fornication going on. There were all none of these all robberies and things of that nature, because what our ancestors looked at, they looked at the underpinnings of what made a society function, what the society just and correct. And they realized it was Ma'at, the goddess Ma'at. The foundation, the basis of everything has to be truth. But truth is the interconnectedness and interdependence between things. So they understood that in order to foster a morally upright people, it wasn't just about creating dogma or spiritual lessons that they must follow, but it was about ingraining within the psyche of the people a way of living that did not even, that called for them never to even entertain the thought of living outside of truth. So that thought never came into your mind because you were brought up in such a very cultural environment, prescribed to you the right way to do things. Do you understand? This is why, you know, a lot of people talk about how polygamy is wrong and this and that. And polygamy existed in Egypt and Africa all over. And a lot of that came out of the fact that a lot of the men went to war and the men were killed and there weren't enough men to marry the women. So the women, as a sisterhood, got together and started marrying men, and it'd be two or three women to a man, and the men would take care of the women, you know, present the dowry to the families, and he proved that he could afford three wives and take care of them. It wasn't anything to do with lustfulness. It wasn't anything to do with greed from a sexual nature. It was an idea that there was a shortage of men, and these women were not able to fend for themselves individually, but collectively they could come together as a sisterhood, work within a structure of Ma'at, of sharing and caring and loving, because Ma'at is love, giving nothing, I'm giving, seeking nothing in return, and working for the family unit and understanding the bigger picture. So when you have that idea in mind, and by the way, Ma'at says, you know, to understand truth, you have to live life, meaning truth is from experience. And there is nothing that is absolute. You understand? Because the difference between Ma'at and Tehuti is that Ma'at is the law and Tehuti is the wisdom to know how to prescribe and administer the law. So there isn't just this no blanket law that must apply to everybody the same, because that would be wrong. Because no one knows what's in the heart of the individual that commits certain crimes. Because the reality of it is, if an individual commits a crime or does something wrong, there's a hole within themselves or something that, excuse me, that needs to be nurtured and fed. That is why they committed the crime. So if as a society you band together and you feel that void, then you eliminate that person from doing wrong, and even better, from people in the future doing wrong, because you've addressed that situation at its core. So I hope you follow me here. So there were no police force. There were no like strict laws in place that people had to follow. Why would there be strict laws? Because people by nature were born and developed into a very spiritual culture. And the one thing that they were taught was that they were God men and God women. They weren't taught that they were sinners. They were taught that they didn't possess knowledge, in today's modern society, one of the first things the religions teach you is that you're a sinner and that you have the capacity to think for yourself and do for yourself, which is why you need the wisdom and light of God to come to you, which is bogus. Because you are God and you contain infinite wisdom and you create the reality around you. So when the historians looked and researched and tried to find religion in ancient culture, they couldn't find religion. They said there is no real religion, but a type of a spirituality or a way of life that they lived. And I love what Bruce Lee said when they asked, when the students said, "Can you teach me Jeet Kune Do?" He says, "I can't. I can't teach you something that is a natural thing. It's within you." And all he told the student was, he says, "Be water, my friend, be water." Meaning that you are not one set thing. You adapt and change, you go with the flow. But no, religious dogma says, this is how it is, this is what you must do, you must abide by the law. And that is a left brain paradigm thinking that is the world into trouble. And when Roman Emperor Constantine got involved and at the Conference of Nicaea, what he effectively did was destroy the right brain thinking and brought to effect left brain thinking, which is going to cause the downfall of the society. Because the left brain is symbolized by the female principle. So what he did was to totally eliminate the female principle from life, which is why in the Christian doctrine, God is a man. Egyptian Kemetic religion, they worship both Asar and Aset. And if you look at every monument or statue in Egypt, you'll always see a statue with either standing or sitting, both the male and the female. And the pharaoh and his queen were symbolized, were a grand metaphor for the gods. But the female principle had been effectively removed from today's religion and relegated to just giving birth to the Savior. Now, I want to emphasize that again, going back to what I was saying previously. In those ancient cultures dating back 2,000-3,000 years ago, there was no crime anymore today, was no pedophilia, there was no raping, pillage in a sense within the society itself. And more importantly, what you saw was that women were free to walk around naked. And you'll see this even today with African tribes, with Native American tribes, that a woman showing her bare breasts was nothing. Because they, in ancient culture, had an appreciation, understanding that the body is natural, that is not to be looked at as a sexual object. But when you get the Christian fundamentalists in, who say that the body is sinful and must be covered, and then they pervert things even worse by saying women are sinful creatures. To the fact that today women can't even breastfeed in public, which is natural. African society in these cultures, that women and children were walking around naked because it was a natural thing. It wasn't, men weren't looking at them lustfully. And that it was devoid of crime. Because there was a connection to the universe, connection to God, and understanding that we are God and God woman, and our place in the universe is secured. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters who are listening to this broadcast, I am telling you, without a doubt, and with 100% conviction, that those people that you rely on for your spiritual guidance, who are in these Christian churches, who are the ones that are on the pulpits, who are on our televangelists, who are the ones that are coming to your town doing these speeches and heads of these mega churches, are some of the most evil and corrupt people there are. War needs to be declared against them. Because what they are teaching is a lie. It's a fraud. It's a plagiarized version of the ancient Kemetic religion. And they know it. Here's one of the issues that we are facing. The majority and the crux of what they teach is based on capitalism. It's based on the fact that God will reward you for doing good and following him with riches, with money, with a nice car, with a nice home. Every time you see these guys on TV, they are smiling in your face and they're taking you on a tour around their home. Oprah does these broadcasts where she visits these ministers in their homes and shows lavish homes, and it's all a hypnotic trance thing to get you to believe that God, if I believe in God, I'll be blessed with a home like that. Meanwhile, the majority of the people in their congregation are living in poverty, can't get a job, their neighborhoods are dilapidated, there's crime, there's drug abuse, and there's rampant teenage pregnancy. How do you explain this? How do you explain this when you contrast that with the ancient culture where there was no crime, no abduction of children? The human body was seen as beautiful and not as a lustful thing. But yet these ministers go around and the first thing they do is they vilify ancient cultures, calling them pagan, demonic, sinful. When they themselves behind closed doors are committing adultery, are molesting children. Look at the Catholic Church. You can't count how many times there's an accusation against them. But yet, year after year, they base their entire sermons off vilifying the ancient people and their way of life as if they were doing something wrong. They did nothing wrong. They created the most moral, upright civilization the planet had ever, ever seen. There was no political politics, political assassinations. There was none of these wars for oil and money. There was none of that. And yet these so-called men of God walk around the pulpit, talk about how they have the truth. Follow God, follow me, believe in a good book, and you'll get all this. All they're talking about is capitalism, about them participating in a system that has the wealth in the top 1% of the population of the planet and the bottom 99% in poverty. They're doing exactly what the Illuminati wants them to do. Preach a doctrine of control and lies. And no one is challenging them. How long must you be a student in their congregation? When, at what point do you become enlightened? When do you graduate from the program? You don't, because they want to keep you in their congregation for lifetime, generation after generation, to their church so they can build more mega churches and have more cars and have more homes and buy a plane that costs $60 million because they're not doctors or neurosurgeons. They're just preachers who, for some strange odd reason, have to get to some place in the world very quickly that it necessitates having their own private jet. They can't just pay for a ticket on a regular airline like we all do. They have bought in to the lies and deception of a capitalist system, and they're preaching capitalism, brothers and sisters. That's all they're doing, preaching to you capitalism. They're preaching to you a God who's jealous, envious, violent, who's subject to mood swings, who will strike you down with fire and brimstone. This is ridiculous. As I said before, when I was incarnated into this existence, I looked around, and I'm like, oh my God, what have I got myself into? What did I agree to? To this nonsense? And yet their congregations are filled with people. And what makes me laugh so much is that people are sitting there with their little books open, taking notes as if the minister is saying something so deep. And I say to them, you know, he's only telling you stuff from the same book that you can read and buy at any religious bookstore. It's called the Bible. You can read it. You don't need to take notes. Because he's not saying, what he's saying is no more valid than what you believe. Anytime you see some minister on TV smiling and saying, yes, God's blessed my wife, we have a nice home. You know, if you walk in the spirit of Christ, God will give you millions of dollars too. No, no, no. God didn't give you millions of dollars. Your poor congregation gave you that money. Little old women dying from cancer, pledging their last dollars to these ministers in hope that they'll be cured. This is fact. I'm not making this up. This nonsense has to stop. I mean, in my view, it's bad enough that they have vilified ancient Egypt, because all of them, I remember I was talking with one woman after, because she was a graphic artist. I said, would you work with me, help me do some graphic arts of, you know, some designs for hieroglyphics? So she started doing them, and for some strange reason, she got an attack of consciousness and called me up and said, you know, I just can't continue to do this because you're worshiping pagans and evil stuff. I said, excuse me? You mean the hieroglyphics from ancient Egypt? I'm worshiping pagan and evil stuff. Do you realize that this culture has never engaged in anything in terms of like gambling or anything in terms of like mass murder, serial killing, rape, extermination of a people based on color? You're telling me that this civilization that's been the most morally upright and created, the modern civilization that we are trying to mimic now, you tell me that it's evil? When the very men that you go and listen to every Sunday keep asking you for money and tell you that if you tell God, God will give you money? Are you serious? But that's how much society has been brainwashed. You understand? Because these ministers, these pastors, pride themselves on you rejecting logic, because they don't want you to think logically. They want you to think emotionally, because if they can get you to think emotionally, you won't stop and start to logically rationalize and reason out what the garbage they're feeding you. Anytime a minister tells you, "Well, I need a new jet. Please pledge $60 million. Give me $60 million. Well, he can go out and take a bank loan and get that money if he wants. He has the collateral. But no, he wants you to pay for it, and he wants it scot-free with, you know, he doesn't want to finance it. This is the insanity that we're dealing with here. This is the upright insanity. And I, you know, hey, listen. Sometimes I think to myself, I can't blame the ministers, you know. Don't hate the player, hate the game, you know. I think what I'm really most concerned about is the congregation and how they follow these people so easily. And it's because they don't do their research. They don't look. They don't see that Jesus is a fictional character that is the plagiarized story of or Horace. It's documented. You can go back and read it. Read it. Everything in that Bible is a plagiarized version of either Babylonian or Kemetic stories. Moses, the Great Flood, that was plagiarized directly from the Epic of Gilgamesh. 2600 BC. Do the research. You'll see it. The Ten Commandments. Comes directly out of Ma'at and 22 Negative Confessions that spell 125. Research it. Some say Moses is Akhenaten. Hey, fine. There are a lot of similarities there. Noah, the great flood, research it. Epic of Gilgamesh. If I'm lying, please correct me. Research this for yourself. The story of Heru, Horus, dates back 3,000 years. Dates back thousands of years. In fact, Horus or Heru was one of the first deities worshipped before Jesus the Christ. But no one takes the time to do their research on this. They just believe it for face value. But here's what gets me. Here's what gets me the most. Is that the Bible can be a source of so much wisdom if we look at it from the right perspective. I remember one woman was saying that she has this quandary, or she's pulling in two different directions. She's interested in astrology, looks down upon astrology. And I was like, oh my Lord, somebody save us. So I had to quickly educate her. I said, the Bible is based on astrotheology. It's based on the worship of the sun and the moon cult. It is astrology. This is how ignorant we have become. The basis of the Bible is a literary work taken from astrotheology. The zodiac. But we don't know this because the Bible, the way it's taught today, is taught from the perspective of just looking at it as actual historical stories that happened at a certain period of time, rather than grand metaphors for other things that went on in the universe. So when you start looking at something from a left brain perspective, the left brain is very superficial. And again, it's not, the left brain doesn't teach metaphoric thinking or in-depth thinking. It doesn't teach that. You have to go to the right brain to understand and see things from a deeper perspective and see analogies. So when you have a congregation or society that's built upon left brain thinking, well, how else do you expect them to look at the Bible from a left brain perspective? Of course, they're going to look at it at historical situations and times and dates that happened. But then they get themselves into trouble, though, when you start doing that, because then the Bible tells you that they calculate and work it out. The Bible tells you that the earth is only 12,000 years old, when we know that's not the case. So therefore, what does that mean? It must mean that what the Bible is speaking about is merely symbolism. And I do believe that most religious leaders know the truth. They understand this, but the money for them is too good. So in order to keep the dollars rolling in, they keep feeding the lie. Again, any questions, comments, call in 347-989-8367. Now, there's a reason why most of their congregation is 70% women. Because that's a question now that's being raised by a lot of people as to why men are no longer going to church. What is going on? And what you'll find is that many of the pastors in these churches are not catering their sermons to women. And what I mean by that is that you have women coming who've had problems in their relationships, who don't have men, women who have children by multiple baby daddies. But the ministers, what they're telling them is that it's not your fault. It's these men's fault. You need to find yourself a good man of God, you know. And ultimately, it's a little pimp game that the ministers are playing. When the reality is, instead of saying to these women that, you know, hey, listen, you have to be accountable for your actions. If you're picking pookie down the street to have a baby with, that's your fault. That's not the man's fault. Because you can't expect Pookie to stick around after, because Pookie wasn't responsible from the beginning. So why did you pick him? Then why'd you go out to have another baby by Ray Ray? With all the rash police violence and things of that nature, and the drugs and the crime in the community, you would think that these Christian churches who and these ministers who preach the men of God and have the answers would have cleaned all of that up. After all, wasn't the church one of the forerunners or the ones that led the civil rights movement? Weren't they politically active in certain times? So why is it now that we are faced with all of these things that are going on in 2015 when we have on every block or so a church? Why? It's because these ministers are engaged in capitalism. They're just there to take money, tell the women in their congregation the things that the women want to hear, but not actually do anything to change anything. They're not. Their idea is protest. Protest does nothing. If they even protest, the majority of these don't even engage in protesting. They do things where they say, well, we clean up the community by having free meals and giving out turkeys on Thanksgiving. I'm like, good for you. That doesn't mean crap. That's not cleaning up the community. That's a passive way of getting out of your responsibility. I remember we had, and I won't mention his name, one pastor who came to Yankee Stadium, and I was staying there at the time in the Bronx, and he sold tickets to his event. And I spoke to my cousin about that because she attended, and I was like, why wasn't he speaking and not charging anything? Why did he have to charge? Because the reason why I was saying that was, I said, do you realize that this man is worth over $100 million, right? Or he makes $100 million a year. And that the majority of the people in the South Bronx and in that community make less than $20,000 a year. So why didn't he come with a place to put together a program that would help uplift those people out of their condition? Why did he come and just take money from the community? Because that's essentially what he did. But no one thinks about this. They're not educated that way to think critically like that. Nor will they ask the question, excuse me, minister, is there ever a point where I will be graduating and be on your level to be able to where I can open a congregation, my own church, and preach capitalism and make millions of dollars like you? You would be spouted. But as I said before, meanwhile, they go around and point the finger at Egypt and native cultures and say they're evil. And anything to do with trance and meditation is evil. That's the devil's. Don't get into tarot cards. That's the devil. So the Illuminati was very successful in setting up the religion to where it taught you that anything to do with your right brain was evil, when in actuality, the right brain takes you into this trance state to where you can communicate with spirits, communicate with God, and find out the truth of your existence in the universe. Let's take this a step further. None of these men of God or women of God use an oracle system. And we know an oracle system is a way of divination, of defining the truth of a situation. An oracle system is a way of directly communicating to God, to Source, Netter, and finding out the truth of something. Instead, the oracle systems throughout history that were in existence, even the Christians back way back when, before Constantine, the Christian church did have an oracle system. But these systems were quickly done away with because they can out a minister, a leader, who was doing wrong, and the oracle would reveal that. So now the oracles have gone underground. And there are many oracle systems. There's tarot, there's I Ching, there's runes, There's what else do they call them? The IFA, which is cowry shells. So there's so many you can work with that will link you directly to spirits or God to find out truth. You can find out what your destiny is. You can find out the minister is speaking the truth and leading you in the right direction. But one of the things that they were successful with was brainwashing or putting the masses of people into a hypnotic state to where they believe that these things were evil. With an oracle, you can do a reading and find out if Obama is a good president or a bad president. Maybe Congress and the Senate were opposing him, and he couldn't do what he needed to do to help the masses of people. You can do a reading and say, will Don Trump make a good president? Or will the minister of my congregation build that second church he's been planning on? The oracle will tell you these things. But this is why the Illuminati working through the age of destruction eliminated and took away the oracles so that you could determine who was speaking truth. But I think it's rather easy now for the nonsense that they're preaching that you can discern, like, this is not right. Because it just so happens that everything they tell you to stay away from is the very thing that can save you. And everything they tell you that can save you is the very thing that's going to destroy you. Time and time again, if you give your power to an outside force, a savior, then you are headed into a deep, dark place because there's no hope for you once you give away your power. And you have enormous power. You just don't realize it. You have the power to change reality if you want to. But what you're doing is putting in place someone else's reality because you're being hypnotized or put into a trance state to do so. I believe some of these ministers that are leading had good intentions at when they originally started out. But I think the money became too good for them, and they loved it, and they saw what the power of the money could do. And I also believe that there are some who very clearly know the truth of what they're teaching is garbage, but they don't care. And the one thing that's very common among all of them, I want you to look at all of them, is that they all will brag about how much money they make. They'll show you their houses, their cars, and they'll say, this is what God does. He blesses you. God doesn't bless you with material things. God could care less about that stuff. You know what the... Let me explain this to you. Program came out several years ago that I purchased. I remember, I think I purchased a DVD for like $60, and I watched it. I was appalled by it. I literally stopped playing the DVD player. I took it out and gave the DVD away halfway through it. And I remember it was called The Secret. And all it was, I'm not saying that The Secret is not based on some truth, but it's full of half-truths, which is just as dangerous as telling a lie. But one of the things The Secret did was to get you to use the power that you do have for the sake of money. For the sake of money. Money is not power, and money is never, ever what you should be striving for. Because true power is those who have brainwashed you into believing that money is power. That's where the true power is, the ability to control population and make them believe that a piece of paper is power. When I see these pop artists, these rock stars on TV flaunting money, and I'm thinking, do you really believe that you have power? Do you really believe that you have status? No, you don't. you are nothing but a peon compared to the power elite, because they understand what true power is. Let me explain this. While the rock stars, the rock bands, the hip-hop thug artists are dancing around, making it rain with dollar bills or $100 bills, and the rock stars are flaunting their women, and they're believing that they're enjoying a lifestyle because they're rich and famous and young. The power elite, those who are in control, I'm talking the top 1%, are manipulating the common space. They're traveling through alternate dimensions. That's power. That's power. They understand it. You don't understand it. You foolish ministers think power is because you have, I've got a $500,000 home or $1 million home. I've got two homes. I'm getting a private jet. I have power and influence. You have nothing. And what you're doing is deceiving people, and you'll have to pay a price for that one day. You'll have to pay a price, because money means jack, because money can be manipulated on the market. If the Illuminati decides your dollar bill, your $100 bill, your $10,000, it can be worth zero the next day. Can be worth zero if they so agree, because the stock market is manipulated. The value of the dollar can go up or down depending on how they want. That's power. Your foolishness in thinking because you're walking around with some green pieces of paper or credit cards or money to bank that can be easily taken away, because all the money in your bank is nothing but zeros and ones, and at the press of a button, it can all become zeros. Anytime the Illuminati wants it, it can become zeros. You don't play by their rules. You don't do what they say. Your $1 million in the bank is gone without a trace. Zero. Zip. No one can explain where it went. It's gone. So quickly. So these men and women calling themselves men of God, walking around preaching capitalism, which only exploits foreign workers. How do you think your iPhone is built? How do you think the clothes on your back are made? It's made by people in China and overseas who are not getting proper health insurance, who are not getting paid properly, making less than a week. That's capitalism, ladies and gentlemen. That's capitalism. Tell me if I'm lying. Research it. Google it. You'll see it. Do your own oracle reading on it. This is why I'm saying you got to make a decision on which way you want to go. Do you want to go along with the way things are, or are you ready to start that revolution and change things? You can have a beautiful life, but in order to do that, you have to come into the light and be willing to give up the so-called freedoms that you have, which are only the freedoms that you have because of the expense of raping and pillaging third world countries for their natural resources. Africa is nearly destroyed. All the African leaders are bought and paid for by the U.S. government. The life that we're living today has come at a price. I hear all these people I hear talk about fighting racism. I said, well, if you're going to fight racism, you better understand it's a global phenomenon. It's not just in the United States. Are you willing to fight it on a global level? If not, let's not talk about this. Because police brutality is nothing new, and it's peanuts compared to what's going on in Africa. It's peanuts was compared to going on in Thailand. Peanuts was compared to going on in Brazil. And we have been infected with a disease mind state what one of my teachers used to call it, we're all Jesus freaks, thinking that, well, we're suffering now, but he'll come away and save us. That's why you're suffering, because you keep thinking that. Instead of saying to yourself, hey, I'm God man, I'm God woman. I can create a new reality for myself at will. All I need to do is change my belief system and come into agreement with the masses of people that we'll now see things from a different perspective. And how will we see things from a different perspective? Well, there will be no rich elite. There will be no racism. There will be no war. There will be no poverty. That's how we'll see things. We'll eliminate all of that because we have the power. We don't need to wait for a savior to do that, because the savior is us giving up our power and depending upon an outside force that does not exist. Did you think about that? Look at that. That's the way you want to see it. That's the way you want to do it, ladies and gentlemen. And this crap about the good book, which is written by man, King James Version of the Bible, King James was a molester of children, and that's the Bible you're reading. Does anybody do the research on this? Hello? Is this thing on? Hello? Get real. Get real. I don't want to hear about a minister's church, mega church, and how beautiful it is. And most of them have cash machines in the lobby so that you can tithe. Yes, after the sermon, go out there and go to the cash machine and get your 10% of your income and give it to the preacher. Make the rich richer and the poor get poor. Let me move on to something else while we're at this. Because I'm seeing this on social media channels, and I'm really at a point of where I need to talk to these people and say, listen, you need to stop this. Stop discussing this. Which is this whole thing about every time there's a biblical movie that comes out, you have the African community talk about, well, these are not African people. They're European people in these roles. And what is your point? Well, the wrong that Hollywood is doing that, I'm like, yes, that's true. It's wrong that Hollywood is doing it, but what is your point? Well, they shouldn't be doing it. Obviously, they shouldn't be doing it, but they are. But the question that you need to ask, don't you have black preachers? Yeah. Aren't they worth millions and millions of dollars? Yeah. Well, why don't they get together and pull their money with Oprah and Tyler Perry, who are making movies with people in dresses, and make a biblical movie with all black people? Oh, yeah. Yeah, duh. So why don't you stop winning Hollywood and start looking at the preachers who are making millions of dollars a year, who fail every year to produce one biblical film with all black people? Ask yourself why they don't do that. Ask yourself, why don't they do that? There are so many black people out there who are making millions of dollars, yet none of them have made a biblical movie starring all African-American actors. Why? That's the real question you want to ask. Not why does Hollywood make all these movies without having black characters in the main role? That's not the question. Don't point the finger at Hollywood. Point the finger at the economic resources that you have in your community that aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. Tyler Perry says he's so much a Christian. Well, where's your first Noah's Ark story? with I'd like to see maybe Morgan Freeman as Noah. Who knows? But where is that movie? Doesn't Tyler Perry have a whole studio production company? Can't he afford to do that? In fact, yes, because I remember there was a gentleman years ago, I forgot his name, a filmmaker who made a Black Jesus film. It was actually a period piece with his own money. I think he got some investors too, formed the LLC and got investors. And it was called The Color of the Cross. Went out there and did it on his own for very, very little money. So when we look at people like Tyler Perry who are worth millions, why can't he do it? And I'm not picking on Tyler Perry. I got mad respect for him because he did exactly what I think most filmmakers should do, regardless of what color you are, start your own, get your own studio going. So I got mad respect for the man. You know, he didn't sit by and then, you know, make films and cry, oh, Hollywood won't finance my next film. No, he built a business for himself. He built a structure for himself to where he can finance his own darn films and own his own TV programs and sitcoms. So kudos to him. But what I'm saying is, I'd like to see him get together with Oprah Winfrey. I'd like to see him get together with Bill Cosby. Well, Bill Cosby of the past, but I don't know how much he's worth now. and get together with Denzel Washington, Wesley Snipes, get together with all these guys. And make a Jesus or a Noah or Moses story. Why don't they do that? So stop pointing the finger at Hollywood, you know? But listen, in all seriousness, I mean, I do respect any man of God, but I don't respect someone who comes along and tells you that God will reward you for doing right, because at the end of the day, you should be doing right. That's something that's automatically a default, de facto program. You should always do right. You should be doing it from the very beginning. You don't get a pat on the back for doing right. I'm sorry, you don't. You don't get any rewards for doing right. You see, the key that what really God is more concerned with is that for your destiny that has been laid out, the agreement that you made before coming to earth, that you grow from that experience. Because God wants experience, and he's living through you. Your body is the vehicle by which God's consciousness is living throughout the experience within you. So God cares more so for not so much doing right, but you're set up with certain circumstances and things that will happen in your life that won't happen to anybody else, so that you can go through those circumstances and learn from it. That's what God wants. And those circumstances that you're going through are unique to you, no one else, so that you can have a certain set of experiences and gather information from those experiences so that God can grow in an understanding of his infinite potential. So it's not a matter of walking through life and saying, I'm a good person, bad things happening to me, because those bad things are supposed to happen to you because that's what you agreed to happen, so you can have the experience. If I must learn what it is to lose love, come to this earth, I'm going to incarnate into this earth, meet the woman of my dreams, she's going to die in a car wreck, and I'm devastated. And the person who was driving was an alcoholic. He was a repeat offender, and he gets a very wealthy attorney who gets him all scot-free. And I go around crying, but it was wrong what he did, and he got all scot-free. Yes, that's true. But God made that happen that way for him to get off scot-free and for him to kill my wife or my girlfriend. God made that happen to have that experience. Because God wants to experience what it's like to lose the love of your life. And I agreed to do that for God. So it's not a matter of if you do right or if you do wrong and you learn to be a right, just person. God doesn't care about that, because you should be a right, just person. No one needs to tell you that. It's like God says, listen, I got a plan. It's called your incarnation objective, your destiny. And to be honest, excuse the French, shit's going to happen to you. It's going to happen to you, and it's going to be unique to you. It's not going to happen to anybody else. It's going to happen to you. You're going to cry foul, and yes, it's going to be wrong, but it's wrong for a reason, so that you can get that experience. If it was right, you wouldn't experience it. And sometimes those emotional destruction spirit are what causes you to change and what causes you to grow. So you may need for that guy to get off scot-free with the high-priced attorney he has for you to elevate your spirit and become a higher being. You understand that? ways, the Illuminati is a blessing because they get us to realize the divinity within ourselves, that we can grow and become more than what we are. We're not animals, we're not flesh, we're spirit. We're immortal. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for listening to this broadcast. This concludes the broadcast. And I want you to tune in next week, same time, 9 p.m., for another exciting and in-depth broadcast where we'll be talking about some more deep subject matters. And for more information on Project Illuminated, please visit the page at projectilluminatedmeetup.com. That's projectilluminatedmeetup.com. Or you can visit our website, which is projectilluminated.com itself, gaining more information. My name again is Kasak Maakeparu, and I want to thank you for tuning in and listening to this message. It always is a pleasure. Hetepu.